Welcome to another edition of the Exhale Podcast, a candid conversation about current matters relating to respiratory diagnostic and lung health. Today's host is Mark Russell, Marketing Communications Manager for Vitalograph in North America, a global leader in respiratory diagnostics. Mark spoke with Professor Toshiaki Kawakami, or Toshi as his colleagues and students call him. He is one of the leaders of the La Jolla Institute for Immunology, which was established in 1988 by a coalition of leaders from academia and industry. These leaders envisioned a unique and dynamic partnership between basic science and applied research, one that would lead to breakthroughs in the understanding of the immune system and improve human health through the development of treatments and cures for immune system disorders. Dr. Toshi's lab studies inflammatory disease such as allergic asthma, food allergies, and Crohn's disease, which have been rising in prevalence for the last several decades. He's particularly interested in histamine release factor, HRF, and its role in promoting inflammation in the lung and gut.
Well, Professor, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Please give us a little background on yourself, education, experience, and your current responsibilities.
My education was all done in Japan, receiving both MD and PhD degrees from the University of Tokyo. During the graduate study of the immunoglobulin gene, I was trained by the future Nobel laureate, Tatsuko Honjo. However, I was more interested in cancer at that time and went to the National Cancer Institute, part of the NIH, National Institutes of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. As a postdoc there, I discovered a new Src family tyrosine kinase, FIN, and studied its transforming activity. I thought FIN and other tyrosine kinases should have physiological functions other than transforming activity. When I became an independent scientist here, I decided to work on the functions in the immune system, mainly signal transduction for mast cell activation via the IgE receptor FcεR1. Many studies in this line eventually led me to the IgE-mediated allergy research. I have been a professor at the La Jolla Institute for Immunology for more than three decades now.
Great. So, hey, why don't you tell us what causes asthma?
It is very complicated, but it is believed that asthma is caused mainly by the so-called type 2 immunity. For the development of type 2 immunity, an allergen or antigen is recognized by immune cells, initially by dendritic cells. Dendritic cells digest the protein antigen and present digested peptides to naive T cells. Activated T cells differentiate to the type of cells that produce and secrete cytokines such as interleukin-4, interleukin-5, and interleukin-13. These changes in the T-cell phenotype in the lung lymphoid tissues are followed by changes in the respiratory epithelial cells and other immune cells such as B lymphocytes, eosinophils, and mast cells. These changes at the respiratory tract eventually leads to triggering asthmatic symptoms. The majority of asthmatics are sensitized with house dust mites, allergens, and also other allergens, and they develop allergen-specific IgE. Viral infections such as rhinovirus infection, which causes a common cold, are also involved in the development of asthma and asthma exacerbation, worsening of asthma symptoms. As viral infections cause injuries to epithelial cells covering the respiratory tract. So that's the rough idea of how asthma develops.
So why is asthma so difficult to treat?
The control of asthma is possible for most patients with a standard corticosteroid inhaler and also a beta agonist. However, there are 5 to 10% of patients whose disease is classified as severe asthma and resistant to the standard therapy. To overcome, the segment of patients has been focus of research for decades, resulting in several new therapeutics such as anti-IgE monoclonal antibodies. One famous one is Xolair, and also anti-Th2 cytokines, and also cytokine receptor antibody.
So why don't you tell us about your theory about beating asthma?
In addition to those cytokines and cytokine receptors, we think IgE and mast cells are important because anti-IgE monoclonal antibodies show at least some efficacy in the treatment of moderate to severe asthma, IgE and its targets. That is, mast cells are important elements that cause this disease. It is well known that mast cells accumulate in the smooth muscle layer of the submucosa of the lung and the respiratory epithelium in asthma. Mast cells can be activated to produce and secrete various factors that cause or worsen allergic reactions, which also cause asthma phenotype. Our recent studies showed mast cell activation induced by antigen and IgE involves another factor termed histamine-releasing factor. We abbreviate HRF usually. HRF binds to a substantial proportion of IgE molecules. Therefore, HRF promotes antigen plus IgE-mediated mast cell activation. That's our idea.
And what inhibits HRF and IgE interactions, and how can they bring relief to these patients?
Blocking the interaction between HRF and IgE can be done by a monoclonal antibody or recombinant protein similar to HRF, but inactive to activate mast cells. This became possible as we mapped IgE binding site within the HRF molecule. We recently developed anti-N19 monoclonal antibody that recognized the amino-terminal 19 resting portion of HRF, and also recombinant protein with HRF C2A. These inhibitors suppressed allergic reactions very well, at least in mouse model. Thus, we have a good reason to believe that either agent should work as a drug to treat moderate to severe asthma and asthma exacerbation.
So what types of patients did the research examine with the HRF and the IgE interactions?
So far, our data suggests that high level of HRF reactive IgE indicates the involvement of HRF in the pathogenesis of asthma and other allergic diseases, like food allergy. Severe asthmatics have higher blood levels of HRF reactive IgE than did healthy individuals. Another interesting observation we recently made was that pediatric asthma patients had increased HRF reactive IgE in the blood when they had rhinovirus infection, but not when they had non-viral asthma exacerbation. Therefore, HRF interaction with HRF reactive IgE likely causes asthma exacerbation associated with rhinovirus infection.
I had a follow-up question on that. So how young can a patient, especially in pediatrics, develop severe asthma?
There are many unknown things, but we know one most common ways of asthma exacerbation is through the infection with rhinovirus, and most likely other respiratory viruses, for example, RSV virus, even the influenza virus, might do the same thing. But there are also non-viral asthma exacerbations. At least in our study, we have pretty good differences in the level of HRF reactive IgE only when asthma exacerbation is associated with rhinovirus infection.
Are there any challenges to this theory?
There are not many groups working on HRF. We are now studying what form of HRF disease causing, because HRF can be present as a monomer, so single molecule of HRF protein, And also disulfide linked dimer and disulfide linked higher order multimers. So we don't know exactly which form of HRF can work to cause asthma and other allergic reactions. However, HRF2CA, a mutant HRF molecule without the ability to dimerize or multimerize, works as a very good HRF inhibitor. So we believe that the dimer or multimers may be the mast cell activating culprit. So we are working on this issue as well as other issues.
Wonderful. So what is the next step and the hope for the future of this therapy?
So regarding the application of HRF inhibitor to asthma therapy, we have done most, if not all, studies that a regular research lab can do. We hope a pharmaceutical company or a federal agency becomes interested in this application. We also want to extend our work to other allergic diseases.
How long have you been doing this research?
It's a little bit more than 10 years. All HRF-related studies started around 2010. At that time, we had very interesting data showing that IgE molecules have different properties depending on the individual IgE molecules. So that's the trigger of our moving to this field, because HRF requires different types of HRF, specific types of IgE molecules to activate mast cells and the basophil.
I see. So this has been very fascinating. So can you tell our listeners where they can find more information about this therapy?
Our most recent paper was just published at the Journal of Allergy and Clinical Immunology. So that's one thing people can start to learn a little more.
Is there a website that they could go to also?
Oh, yeah, please. That's lji.org.
Wonderful. Yeah. Well, hey, this has been fascinating. A lot of extensive work there, it seems, you've been doing here for the last 10 years on this. And hopefully you can get some pharmaceutical company or federal agency to be more interested in continuing on your HRF theory and work.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, sir.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
You reached the end of another episode of the Exhale Podcast. Don't forget to follow us for upcoming new episodes, and please take our survey to help provide good content for the future. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again on the Exhale Podcast, brought to you by Vitalograph.